Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14, which is today's portion. This is good and pleasing to God when you worship Him through singing songs and hymns. God deserves our worship, right? That's why we worship with joy and gladness every day. Especially we worship Him as congregation on Sundays. Our worship doesn't add anything to Him because He is self-sufficient God. But we recognize His worthiness. So nothing you are adding to God when you are worshiping Him. When you are praising Him. Just you are recognizing who He is. All people of God praised Him and worshipped Him. Especially when we read Psalms. As we are going through Psalm series in Bible study. That always, mostly, that people of God worshipping, praising God for many reasons. It is not an option, it is obligation to worship God. More than 100 times, praise, the word praise is mentioned in the book of Psalms. If you want to praise God from your heart, you should read Psalms. We should worship God for what He has done for us and His attributes and His actions that motivates us to praise Him, to honor Him. But one thing we need to remember, brothers and sisters, praise should come from the heart. It should not come from the mouth. It should come from the heart. A.W. Tozer, who said, God can be experienced only in the heart. That creates the atmosphere of praise and worship and adoration. When you know, when you experience God in your heart, then praise will come from your mouth. Today and next two sermons that we will learn why we should praise God. Why we should praise God. So turn with me, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. That elevates the truth. We should praise God for His heavenly blessings. We can read chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love, by predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He graciously bestowed on us in the Beloved, that is Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions, according to the riches of His grace, which He caused to abound to us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Him, for an administration of the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth, in Him. In Him we also have been made an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, to the end that we who first have hoped in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption, God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. If you see this passage, such a wonderful passage, but when you read this passage in this Ephesians, you can see, like English version, you can see like verses 3 to 14. But in Greek Bible, only one verse. This is only one verse, but translators added these verses. So the full passage is talking about one thing, that is praising God. Why we should praise God? Because of His heavenly blessings. Look at verse 3, which is the theme verse of this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be the God. That means we should praise Him. Paul states that God is blessed, so all must praise Him. That is the idea. Even 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, which says, Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul mentions again 2 Corinthians 11:31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. Blessed forever. We should praise Him. We should bless Him because what He has done. But especially in this passage, why should we praise Him? What are the descriptions about God in verse 3? Paul clarifies that God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ are one person. Both are not different. One person, God and Father. That God should be praised. Let's see why we should praise Him. He says, verse 3, very clearly, He blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We need to remember, brothers and sisters, it is a complete action of God. So Paul is not saying He is blessing continually. Paul is saying here, God blessed you already. So sometimes we think, God is not doing anything for me. But if you read this verse, Paul is saying very clearly, God blessed you already. God blessed you already if you are in Jesus Christ. The phrase He blessed us means He blessed all believers, us, that is plural. Paul is adding himself and also adding all believers. The phrase He blessed all who sit here as believers in Christ are blessed by God the Father. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, who is sitting here, Paul is saying to you, God blessed you already. God blessed you already. The blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Those blessings are connected to heavenly places. That is the idea. That proves these spiritual blessings are holy, precious, and needed blessings that gives us joy. But this is not blessing that belongs to the earth, which is sinful and temporary. So people mostly run after God, trust in Jesus Christ for earthly blessings. But Paul is saying very clearly, you should come to God, you should trust in Jesus Christ for heavenly blessings. Those who are not trusting in Jesus Christ, for you this message. Indian church history says, that one of the sad parts of the missionary work in India is preaching the gospel to poor and outcast. What happens? They trust in Jesus Christ so that they will get some earthly blessings from white-skinned men and women. Because they are poor, they will give something like bed, like house, like food, some money. These white men came and they can give us. What happened? In church history, Indian church history, churches became very weak because people are focusing on earthly blessings. Now we can call it as prosperity gospel, right? The people are coming to Christ for earthly blessings. It should not be happen. Paul is saying here, Paul did not say, listen carefully, God blessed you with earthly blessings. No. Paul said, God bless you with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Those blessings come from heaven, not on the earth. That is the key idea we should understand. God disappoints those who come to Christ for earthly blessings. I am not afraid to say, if you come to Christ for earthly blessings, please go from here. Nothing, there is nothing here that you will get. You should come to Christ. You should worship Him for heavenly blessings. That is most important thing. By the way, I'm not saying that The earthly blessings are not needed. Those are needed, that is common grace. You don't need to believe in Jesus Christ for those things. Do you know? One of the most richest people in India are not following Christ. How they have earthly blessings? Do you remember? Did you think that? If you say Jesus Christ is God because he is giving me car and bungalow and whatever I need, if you want to prove Jesus as God because of that, what about unbelievers who don't have Christ but have the wealth and richness? The most important thing here is, Paul is saying, believers, you are blessed with heavenly blessings, which they don't have. But Paul explains how God blessed us with heavenly blessings. Look at the end of verse 3. Please look at verse 3. Important phrase. In Christ. Can you see that? In Christ. These blessings come in Christ, through Christ. Those who are outside of Christ never experience these blessings. That is the fact. Christ is the agent and means, the bank of heavenly blessings. God blesses those who love his beloved son. Not everyone. Not everyone. He doesn't bless everyone with heavenly blessings. Please remember that. He blesses you if you trust in Jesus Christ. In Christ, God blesses us with heavenly blessings, which is most important to human beings. If God is giving some blessings, which is from heaven, that means these blessings are so important to human beings. So for that, we need to run after Christ. But what happened, no? As a believer, God blessed us. That motivates us to worship him. Paul explains, what are the blessings that God has given to us? That is found in verse 4 to 14. That's why I said verse 3 is thematic verse. Verse 4 to 14, reason why we should worship. What are the blessings that God has given to us? But look at the first word of verse 4. Just as. Just as is a conjunction. It is a grammar, English grammar. Conjunction, it is a manner of conjunction. Conjunction of manner. How God blessed us. The Paul is explaining very clearly. You remember that God blessed you in this manner. So I want to summarize that the blessings of God to us. Even John MacArthur says, commented on this epistle. He says, Ephesians is the believer's bank. The Christian's checkbook. The treasure house of the Bible, that is Ephesians. If you understand the truth in this epistle, that you can claim all the blessings. Not earthly blessings, heavenly blessings. I want to say again and again. I will summarize for you and help you to understand the key blessings of God from this passage. Three heavenly blessings of God that motivate us to praise him. The first heavenly blessings of God that motivates us to praise him is he elected us in Christ. He elected us in Christ. One of the blessings that we should remember again and again, that God has chosen us. But if you go to so-called churches, preachers, they won't preach about this truth. Just they talk about all earthly things. But one of the heavenly blessings that we received from God is God has chosen us. He elected us in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him. Here we have five facts about the doctrine of election. Some of you may not like it, but this is the fact Paul is saying. Please look at while I'm explaining the truth. Whether I am preaching from the text or whether I am telling my own opinions. Please look at, please follow what Paul is saying. That five facts about the doctrine of election. The first fact that we must know is the definition of election. What is the meaning of election? Do you know what is the meaning of election? It is a, to pick out, choose out for oneself. Simple way I can explain to you. If you are to buy shirt, or any dress for your kids. You go to shop. Then you won't pick all, right? So whatever you like it, you take it, right? Pick out from something for yourself. That is the idea. God has picked out from the world for himself. So that is the meaning. God picked out men and women from the world for what? To save us. But we need to understand this is the sovereign act of God. It is also called divine election. So it is sovereign. God is sovereign. You won't question. Behold, our God is sitting on the throne, right? He is sovereign. He has selected men and women from the world to save them. But we need to understand, Paul explains, whom did God choose? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Listen very carefully, which is important verse we need to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. For consider your calling, brethren, that were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Verse 28, the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. If you think you are such a great person, that's why God has chosen you. But Paul is answering that you are not such a great person. If someone is chosen by God, that shows that person is who? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 28, that person is unwise person, unmighty, unimportant person, foolish people God has chosen, weak people God has chosen, and base, like no, unimportant people God has chosen, despised people God has chosen. There is no distinction between rich and poor in the election of God. We need to understand that. God doesn't look. So what happened in the society? People make friendship with rich people, right? But God is not like that. God is not like that. See, James chapter 2. James chapter 2 verse 5 says, listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith? Can you see that? God, there is no distinction between rich and poor, educated, uneducated, this country, that country. God has chosen from the world. From the world. There is no distinction. But these Ephesians, the believers in Asia Minor, should understand the heavenly blessings of God. Why? Do you know, brothers, what is there in Asia Minor, especially in the city of Ephesus? The famous temple of Diana. Our Artemis was in the city of Ephesus. That structure was considered to be one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. When they see those temples, structures, but when they see the believers are meeting in small house, what happens? When they see, we know that Ephesian city is filled with richness. That is capital city of Asia Minor. The political leaders, rich people were living in that place. But these believers, poor believers, those who are meeting in small house, those who don't have even building, how they think? Are we are poor? Are we don't have anything? We don't have any blessing. When we see the richness in Ephesus city, they can be discouraged. But Paul is telling them, they may have earthly blessings. You believers, you have heavenly blessing. God blessed you. God blessed you with heavenly blessings. That is, God has chosen you. God did not choose them. God has chosen you. That is great blessing. That's why Paul is encouraging them. Paul is motivating people to practice the truth. That's why he is explaining the doctrine, the blessings of God to the church. We haven't done anything to be chosen by God. You have done nothing to be chosen by God. This is totally free grace because the election occurred in Jesus Christ through him. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, one of the marks of being elected person is that he must be facing hatred from the world. That is the mark. If you have doubt, am I chosen one or not? The one of the mark, no, people should hate you. When people are hating you because of Jesus, that shows you are elected. Why I am saying that? John Gospel chapter 15 verse 19 says, if you are of the world, the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. So that is the mark. When people are hating you because of Christ, that shows you are chosen one. That is the mark. Brothers and sisters, you may have doubt why God did not choose other people, my relatives, why they are dying in sin. I don't know. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. But don't ask this question, why God is not selected that person, this person, my neighbor. But ask this question, why God you have chosen me? I am also part of them. I am also going to hell because of my sinful nature. But why did you choose me? That question you should ask. Not why you are not selecting that person, this person. You should ask why you have chosen me, such a sinful person I am. I won't deserve to be chosen by you. That is the thing. Then worship will come. You can worship God. Then sometimes people will question him, right? But Paul clarifies the doctrine of election in Romans chapter 9, verse 19 to 21. Please look at the important passage that you should think about. Romans chapter 9, verse 19 to 21. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? These days we have like shower and we have like pusher, many things in washrooms, and we have many technology. But those days they used to use vessels like no pot. Especially in villages, even in towns. What happens, no? What Paul is explaining here, potter makes from the mud honorable vessel, which we keep in the kitchen, in our home, like bedroom or hall. But same potter makes some vessels, we keep those vessels in washroom. But we won't exchange, right? We use certain vessels for certain works. Paul is giving that answer. If potter has rights over clay, that mud, all of you are mud, right? Created from mud. So why are you questioning God? Why you are not chosen that person? Why you are chosen me? Don't ask that. Who are you? You man. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. But praise God for that. He has chosen us. He has chosen us. That motivates us to worship him. The second fact about the doctrine of election is the time of election. You know time of election. What is the time of election? Look at verse 4. Before the existence of the world. It says before the foundation of the world. What is the foundation? Foundation is not building. The foundation is the basic thing that you need to build before you build the original building, right? Before he created universe, before he make foundation of the creation, God had chosen us. God chose before he created the even time, right? Even time. Sometimes we hear about testimonies. Please listen carefully. I heard the gospel. I came to the gospel meeting. I have taken the Bible to read. I got saved through that verse. That is true. Whatever their testimonies are true. But I want to ask them, why did you hear the gospel that day? Why did you attend attend that gospel meeting? Why did your friend give that Bible to you? Why you are born into a Christian family, which is an opportunity to listen gospel every day? Why these things happen? You are not reading Bible. Suddenly you started reading Bible. How it happened? The reason is the doctrine of election. He has chosen you before the foundation of the world, so you are reacting it. You are reacting it. It is not like you reacted some way. God has doing something. God has chosen you. Based on that, you are trusting in Him. You have love for the world before the foundation of the world. This will kill our pride, right? We haven't done anything else for our salvation. Especially, you know, Paul continues 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 29 to 31. Paul says that, so that no man may boast before God. Then he says, verse 31, so that just as it were written, let him who boast, boast in the Lord. We boast in the Lord for our salvation. We praise God for our salvation because we haven't done anything. Before the foundation of the world, He knows your name. He knows where you are going to born. He knows whom you are going to get married. Everything, every details He knows. And He loved you. He loved you. Before the foundation of the world, He had chosen. That don't boast about your faith. Don't boast about your godliness that comes from faith. You must boast in Christ. Boast in the Father God. The third fact about the doctrine of election is the purpose of election. Why? What is the purpose of election? Paul explains, look at verse 4, part B, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. The idea that God chose us before the foundation of the world so that we would be something. Look at that phrase, that shows, that refers to purpose, why He has chosen us. Two purposes of the election. The first purpose of the election is we might be holy before Him. We might be holy before Him. The holy means to set apart for God, prepared for God with solemn rite, pure and clean. This word is used of human being concentrated to God, being holy, being pure. Christians are holy nation just as Israelites, right? As we mentioned last sermon. It refers to the holiness of chosen ones on the earth and also the holiness of chosen ones in heaven. This refers to positional holiness that leads to practical holiness. You have positional holiness before God in Christ that leads to practical holiness. So when God sees you, He sees you as a holy person because of Christ. Christ's righteousness covered you, right? But that leads to you, that leads practical holiness. We should not play with the sin. That is the idea. Even Ephesians 5, 3 says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Saints, the holy people. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. Present your bodies as holy. It is not, I am holy inside. But your body should be holy. Everything, full human beings, entire person should be holy before God. For that purpose, God has chosen you. The second purpose of the election is we might be blameless before Him. The meaning of the word blameless is free from faultiness, without spot, without blemish. It was used for sacrificial lamb. Do you know? When people are taking lamb to sacrifice, it should be without spot, without any defect. The same word used, Leviticus chapter 22, verse 21, which says, it refers to the sinless life of Christ. But here it is used for believers ethically also. God has chosen us so that we must be without blemish, faultless, unblameable. The same word Paul used, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, which says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless in the world. The crooked generation, perverse generation. So, the idea is here, God is helping us to be stand blameless before Him. But we have our responsibility as live a life without blame. Why I am saying God is working it? Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. God has chosen you. The purpose is to become like His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the purpose, to become like Christ. Holiness and also blamelessness. Even Jude chapter 1 verse 24 says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. So we are going to stand in the presence of God blameless. There is no spot on us when we reach to heaven. That is the purpose of salvation, especially that is the purpose of election. Whatever you do, you have a purpose, right? Why God has chosen us, so that He wants to see us as holy and blameless, becoming like His Son. Brothers and sisters, God helps us to be holy and blameless before Him, ethically, positionally. He has done that. For the positional sake, you don't need to work on. But for the ethical sake, you should work hard to keep yourself holy and blameless before God. When you are understanding the doctrine of election, you are praising God. Praise God for that. But don't take advantage of God's grace. Don't play with the sins that you are doing. But what happens, no? While you are doing that sin, one day it will become habitual. The sin will become no sin to you after practicing many days. But stop killing. Kill the sin initial days. Take seriously. Recently, I heard one word from one person. He is my friend of me. What happened? No, just he said some lies. Why you said lies? I said, you are playing with God. Are you playing with God? I said to him. No, he said, no. Why? How can I play with God? I won't play with God. God is great. But you are lying, no? See, lying is sin. So what I'm saying, no, people are not taking sin as very serious. Lying also no problem. But I told him, do you know, the liars will be in hell. Liars will be in hell. But what we think, no, we are taking sin as very casual. Just we are praising God for election. Wow, such a great God you are, but we are not working hard for holiness. That helps us to think about the fourth fact about the doctrine of election. That is the motivation of election. What is the motivation? Look at verse 4, which says that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. Can you see that word? In love. God has chosen us out of love. Out of love. In love. God is very different being than man, human being. A sinful man wants to love those who love him, right? But God loved before He created man. He knew that this man would be rebellious to His words. But He loved him and had chosen him. This is unconditional love. Let me talk very practical way. When you go to shopping, do you take a shirt or any dress which has holes and dirtiness, will you choose? No, you won't take that. Even though you have so many good dress and shirt and fan, but what you do, no, you will select best one, right? So that is human being. But God is not like that. God knows this person is useless person. This lady is useless lady. They will become rebellious against me. But God knows it. God knew it, but he has chosen. That's why Paul is reminding, in love he has chosen. God has love. The God's love is overflowing like flood. We were singing, right? God's love overflows. God is love. He loved us. Do you know, brothers and sisters, God is the source of love. Why I'm saying that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Then he gives reason. "For love is from God." Love is from God. Again, now we were talking about what is the source of grace and peace? God. What is the source of love? God. The love is from God. God is love. Love comes from God. True love, agape love, unconditional love comes from God. Because of that, God has chosen you. He loves you. But sometimes what happens, no? Like, no one is loving. No one is thinking about me. Sometimes as a human beings, weak people, no, we may think that. But you are forgetting that one who is most powerful, God, one who created everything, he loves you. He loved you before the foundation of the world. That why you are thinking about that sinful man, that useless people, that who are not loving you. Are you getting point? See, God, he is loving. He has love that overflows in your life. But you are not experiencing that. You are not recognizing that. Whenever you feel like I am alone, that no one is there with me, I am going through tough situation, you should remember the doctrine of election. Doctrine of election. Mommy, daddy, do not know who you are, but God knows who you are before the foundation of the world. If you love your mommy, daddy, for whatever they are doing for you, but how much you should love God, one who created them, one who created you. Sometimes we Christians will forget and love of God in the season of little suffering. But don't forget that. God has chosen you. You are such a special saint. You are faithful. You are saint. Chapter 1 verse 1 says, right? You are called as saints. The fifth fact about the doctrine of election is the explanation of election. Say with me, what are the four facts about the doctrine of election? The definition of election. Then? Time of election. Purpose of election. Motivation of election. Finally, the fifth one, the explanation of election. So Paul is explaining here. See, God has chosen you. You won't understand very clearly. Now here Paul is explaining how he has chosen. The means of election. He is explaining. He is giving more details about election. Verse 5 and 6. That is predestining us as sons. Predestining us as sons. Look at verse 5. By predestining us to adoption as sons. The idea is Paul is answering the question how God chooses. The meaning of this verb predestining is that God predetermined, decided beforehand. The action of predestining us is completed. The Greek idea is God predestined us with the purpose that is to adopt us as his sons. He predestined us in order to make us his sons and daughters. For that he chose us before the foundation of the world. Can you see that purpose to adoption, to make you his children, he predestined. He had chosen you. God predestines us as sons to himself. Can you see that word? To himself. To become his children. It is talking about personal relationship. Personal relationship. God made man out of nothing, right? God made man out of mud. We are useless people. But God, such a holy person, holy being in the universe, one who created such a mighty God, glorious God, he wants to be called as your father. So that is the blessing that you are receiving. That is the blessing you are receiving. He wants to make you as his children. Brothers and sisters, that is the reason why we won't lose our salvation. God adopted us as his children. We are his children. He is our father. When we know this truth, we won't lose our salvation. Because he predestined already. He has chosen us already. A.W. Pink says that, the knowledge that God has predestined me unto eternal glory supplies an absolute guarantee that no efforts of Satan can possibly bring about my destruction. For if the great God be for me, who can be against me? Can you see that? The great God be for me, who can be against me? That's the reason you won't lose salvation. Some people criticize about doctrine of election because I don't like that doctrine. Why God is choosing? But if God is not choosing you, you cannot be saved. Because God has decided to save you, because God has decided to make you his children, that will happen. If you decide, it won't happen. Because you are sinful man, you are sinful woman, you cannot be faithful, right? Because God has chosen you to save you, it will happen. That's why you won't lose your salvation. The doctrine of election motivates us and encourages to worship him more better, right? But here we have three facts about predestination. The first fact about predestination is through Christ. Can we see verse 5? By predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. By the agency of Jesus Christ, God predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters. Jesus Christ is the agent, was the agent to predestine us. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ involved in that meeting. When he is discussing about you, then Jesus Christ also agreed there. Yeah, I can save that person. Yeah, I can go and die for that person. Can you see that? Through Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, including God the Holy Spirit. The committee happened, meeting happened, that they have decided. God the Father initiated to choosing. God the Son accepted. Through Jesus Christ, God predestined us. He decided to make you as his child. John Gospel chapter 1 verse 12 says, the key verse, but many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Who is giving right to become children of God? Jesus Christ. If you want to become children of God, child of God, you should run to Jesus Christ. That's why I said God selected, elected in Christ, in Christ. The Christ is so important. Christ is so important. He agreed to save you, to predestine you. The second fact about predestination, according to his will, according to his will. Look at verse 5, part B, according to the good pleasure of his will. God predestined us as sons to himself in accordance with the good pleasure of his will. His will is the reason to make us his children. He desired. Sometimes people say that, I have desire to become child of God. No, before you desire, God desired already. According to the will of God. According to his good pleasure of will of God. Can you see that good pleasure? That when he fulfilled that desire, no, he has that pleasure. He has that pleasure. I don't know how to explain such a great truth. Marvelous truth. But according to his good pleasure of will, he predestined us. The third fact about predestination, to the praise of his glorious grace. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he graciously bestowed on us in the beloved. The purpose, the goal of predestining us to make his children is for the praise of the glory of his grace. Glory of grace, nothing but glorious grace. That is the Greek idea. Look at the phrase, his grace. His grace. The idea is that grace belongs to God. God has glorious grace. So to the praise of his glorious grace, he predestined us as sons before the foundation of the world. Yes, we are sinners. He wants to make us his child, his children. What happened? No, there is a purpose for the glory of his glorious grace. To the praise of. The people should worship him. That's why, you know, we were singing last song. Grace, grace. God's grace. Why we are exalting God's grace? Because of the doctrine of election. That's what Paul is saying here. Why God has chosen us? So that we can worship, we can exalt his glorious grace. What a grace you have. What a grace you have, God. Then every one of us are worshiping him. The two ways that the grace of God is bestowed on us, that Paul talks about, favorably. The meaning of the word, the graciously bestowed, is to cause to be recipient of benefit. Bestow favor. Or favor highly. So, the favorably, he gave grace. The second way that the grace of God is bestowed on us is in his beloved Son. How grace is coming to us? The mediator is Jesus Christ. In the beloved. God bestowed on us his grace in one who is loved by the Father. The grace of God comes through Jesus Christ. That's why I'm saying God elected in Christ. If you want to experience these blessings, heavenly blessing, you should trust in Jesus Christ. You should hope in Jesus Christ. Then only you can experience this grace. That's why I said that God elected us in Christ. We have seen the first heavenly blessings of God. He elected us in Christ. Don't worry, I am not going to tell second heavenly blessings. That will be part two. I will preach on next time. Okay? So today, it is over. It is over. First blessing, first heavenly blessing that we received from God. Tell me, God elected us in Christ. That is the first blessing. But I want to conclude with quotation from A.W. Pink on the doctrine of election. You can see that. God is not working at random. The gospel has been sent forth on no uncertain mission. The final outcome in the conflict between good and evil has not been left indeterminate. How many are to be saved? Our loss depends not on the will of the creature. Everything was infallibly determined and immutably fixed by God from the beginning. All that happens in time is but the accomplishment of what was ordained in eternity. Then another, the important quote that I like is, election is the root of all blessings. The spring of every mercy that the soul receives. If election be taken away, everything is taken away. If you won't believe in the election of God, then you won't experience anything. That's what this man of God said. Let this doctrine motivate us to praise God forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace that you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. Just we adore you, Lord. Lord, we are understanding, Lord, slowly, Lord, about your sovereignty. Lord, help us to worship you, to praise you, because what you have done for us, who you are in our lives. Lord, help us, Lord, to strengthen our souls and our faith with this doctrine. Lord, We are so grateful to you for this doctrine, that you have chosen us and you loved us. Lord, help us, Lord, to always have this truth in our minds, in every situation. In Jesus' name I pray.